Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench. A lot to discuss on the show tonight, including Cork's big win over Westmeath this afternoon.
Overall, good work ethic at times, and you know, it's difficult coming up here to play these matches where you're expected to win by 20 or 30 points, and if you don't, then you play poorly. So look, the job is done, and we know what we're facing now next Sunday.
We'll hear from John Moylan, who will hear from Dara Fitzgibbon in just a little bit. Also going to look back on the Cork footballers win over Laois last night. We'll hear from Roland McCarthy, Brian Hurley and Paul Kerrigan. Also going to talk motorsport with Luke Allen, the young Cork man currently blazing a trail as he races in Asia. Going to talk to John Cotter as Cork seats prepare to take on Preston. I'm going to wrap up today's action as well at the Irish Open in Lahinch with John Rahm winning his second Irish Open in 3 years. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. My name's Rory, I'm here with you until 7pm this evening. We'll be joined by Ciarán O'Regan in a little bit as well, just to get his views on Cork's big win today. 140 the Rebels shot this afternoon as they saw off the challenge of Westmeath. 140 to 20 points, in fact, the final score there. Patrick Corrigan scoring 10 points, Robbie O'Flynn with the goal, and 11 different scores for Cork. So certainly plenty of positives to take from the Rebels' performance this afternoon as they prepare to take on Kilkenny now next Sunday afternoon in Croke Park with a 2 p.m. start. Meanwhile, in the other game today, Laois have knocked Dublin out of the championship as they won in Port Laois, 122 to 23 points. Maura Tracy and Nicalig was watching this one.
Full time, Laois 122, Dublin 23 points. This was a game where many said the result was inevitable. A facile Dublin win over Joe McDonagh Cup winners, Laois. But any Brennan side didn't read that script as they completely overwhelmed their visitors with a 9th minute goal from Aaron Dunphy and going into the break 5 points up. Dublin did begin to claw back and could have had a Danny Sutcliffe goal early in the second half, but for a great save from Ender Rowland. Laois found a second wind inspired by a monster Willie Dunphy point and kept their heads and their nose in front to sneak it. Full time, Laois 122, Dublin 23 points.
Meath, meanwhile, booking their place in the Super 8s of football. They beat Clare in Port Laois today. 2-16-2-18 was how that finished. The Royals now play Donegal in Ballybuffet next weekend. At the World Cup, the defending champions, the USA, have beaten the European champions, the Netherlands, 2-0 this afternoon, thanks to a second half penalty from Megan Rapinoe and a cracking strike from Rose Lavelle just 8 minutes after that, after about 17 minutes. So that means the USA have won their 4th ever World Cup. And they've also retained the trophy for the first time since 2007. The Copa America final, meanwhile, taking place this evening. Brazil and Peru going head-to-head from 9 p.m. In golf, John Rahm has won the Irish Open for the second time in 3 years, shooting 16 under par to finish 2 clear of his nearest challenger. It's going here now from Dennis Kerman, who was there.
Spain's John Rahm produced one of the great final rounds in European Tour history to win the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open for the second time in 3 years. Two halves of 31 added up to a quite brilliant round of 62 that included 10 threes in his last 12 holes. Rahm overcame a 5-shot overnight deficit with 8 birdies and an eagle in that final round to move him on to 16 under par and give him a 2-shot winning margin in the end over Andy Sullivan and Bernd Wiesberger. Eddie Pepperell, Rafa Cabrera Bayo and Robert Rock tied for 4th on 13 under. Wiesberger, Rock and Paul Waring securing places in the Open at Royal Portrush as the top 3 non-exempt qualifiers. Cormac Sharvin fired in a level par round of 70 today. He's in a tie for 15th place that earns him over €85,000, while Robin Dawson's 71 left him on 6 under par and in a tie for 27th. A good week for the two young Irishmen. But it was John Rahm who lit up the Lahinch links, showing his full range of skills to become the 7th Spanish winner of the Irish Open title. At the 2019 Dubai Duty Free Irish Open at Lahinch with McGurksGolf.com for in-store club fitting with the most advanced TrackMan technology. I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Yeah, we'll hear from some of the golfers a little bit later on in the show as well. We'll hear from John Rahm. I'm sure he's a very, very happy man today. Cycling team Ineos missing out on victory in the time trial day 2 of Cycling's Tour de France, but defending champion Geraint Thomas is still well placed. The Jumbo-Visma team pipped them to the win. It means that Dutchman Mike Tunesen, who finished first in yesterday's opening stage in Brussels, retains the race leader's yellow jersey. And in American football, the Cork Admirals have beaten the Dublin Rhinos today, 47-7. It means the Admirals go undefeated for the season, 7-0-1. They will now host the South Dublin Panthers on the 21st of July for the Shamrock Bowl semi-final. All right, we're going to start the show with action today in Mullingar and that big win for Cork this afternoon over Westmeath. Ciarán O'Regan was there for us and he spoke to Cork boss John Myler.
I'm happy with the performance, you know, and to get score 40 points is good shooting practice and things like that, so get back for recovery tomorrow night and get ready for next Sunday, a massive game against Kilkenny. That's really it, that's the job done. So
what pleased you most about the performance?
Just good shooting and you know, overall good work ethic at times, and you know, it's difficult coming up here to play these matches where you're expected to win by 20 or 30 points, and if you don't, then you play poorly. So look, the job is done and we know what we're facing now next Sunday.
You brought in three subs at half time obviously to get some game time.
Just to get game time into Damien Callan, into Jamie Collin, you know, freshen things up, give fellas a break, and that's what we've done. And you know, I think Robbie O'Flynn made a good impression there when he came on at half time. He scored 1-2, 1-3, so look, that's really it. But you know, job done, move on next Sunday.
Robbie certainly put his hand up for a place.
Yeah, look, he came on, he got a great goal, and you know, that's what he gives you. He gives you that extra little bit on the end of goals, and you know, that'll be important. We'll use 21 players next Sunday, that's it.
Yeah, next week obviously a huge game against Kilkenny. Massive, different battle.
Yeah, like it's a different mindset and you're going up, so you know what I mean, that we go up Saturday and it'll be a different mindset, different game, different intensity. You know, Kilkenny coming off Leinster final defeat are going to be, you know, chomping at the bit and ready to go again, and you know, Cork Kilkenny matches are extremely difficult and tough.
You'll be used to the short build up, I suppose, going into.
Yeah, but it's much easier that way. You know, going into a game that you can focus on. You have a week, you haven't got 4 weeks, so it's much better that way. And you know what I mean? Game on next Sunday, and you know, Kilkenny are off for a week after losing to Wexford last week, so you know, they'll be trying to rectify that. We'll just try and rectify one or two little issues here today, and that's it.
Any injuries?
I don't think there's. You know, Aidan Walsh should be hurling on Tuesday night at least, so you know, that gives us another opportunity, you know.
Before Aidan's injury, were you planning to do a bit of rearranging, John?
No, I wasn't, because you never know with these situations. As I said during the week, I've been around the block with Kerry and Carlo, and you come up here, you're always going to get a difficult game, you're always going to be pushed. And you know that I saw Westmeath and Laois last Sunday, and the standard was quite good. Westmead faded in the last 20 minutes, I knew that, but you know, that the longer a team like that are in the game, then it's going to be extremely difficult to win. So you know, we just had to do our job and we've done it. Next Sunday now is totally different, total different intensity, competitiveness, and we're good to go.
You've been in charge, as you say, John, of developing counties. You know, Cork had a job to do today, but was it fair the 1 week turnaround?
No, the fairness doesn't come into it. Is it we have to play Kilkenny next Sunday? Is it fair to play a week? Look, they're the rules. That's it. You get into the Joe McDonagh Cup final, you win or you lose it, and you have a game the following weekend, and that's it. And no, we've played four matches in the Munster Championship in five weeks. We know that. It's an opportunity for Westmeath. It's an opportunity for Laois to, you know, to show off their skills and how far they've come. And you know, they've come on a long way. But you know, just they put two sweepers there earlier on, and you know, and then their shot selection was poor at times. But if they improve on that, they'll, you know, and I think Laois have improved enormously. But you know, the gap is, we need to improve as well. You know what I mean? So you know, it's a carrot really for those counties. And I've been involved in Kerry, and you know, you want to be there, but you know in your heart and soul that, you know, the talent, you don't have that depth of talent really.
John, you picked a very strong team. I mean, Limerick in the corresponding game, we say, against Carlo last year, they ran their bench. But you picked a stronger team.
The game is over. We've moved on. You know what I mean? You can go into games, pick whatever team you want. But look, we needed to give fellas a blowout today. We're playing Kilkenny next Sunday. It's good preparation for Hoggy and those guys want to play. Hoggy wants to play every game. So you know what I mean, Nash wants to play every game, and that's what we have. Robbie O'Flynn came on there and, you know what I mean, played really well in the second half, scored a goal and 2 points. So competition for places, and that's what we expect as well. So, you know, the stronger the panel, the bigger the panel, the better.
John, you must be happy with the spread of scores and the quantity.
Yeah, but I'm happy with 40 points, so it shows something good. I don't know how many wides we had, but you know, we could have gone for a few more goals and you know, execute a few more goal chances than that, and we didn't. But look, I'm happy with the 40 points. I'm happy with the performance. You know, it's 5 o'clock. I know what's ahead of us next Sunday in Crow Park. It's going to be a massive intensity, massive competition against Kilkenny, who are, you know, wounding from losing to Wexford last Sunday. So Cody will want to get that right next Sunday.
Given that at the start of the year, a lot of it was questioned about the depth of the squad. Now it seems you've a welcome headache going into the game against Kilkenny, because there is.
Yeah, but you need, like, that showed last year. If you haven't got five subs, and you know, this game is so fluid, it's so fast, it's so quick. Fellas are going to take knocks and bumps and bruises, and you know, like Welsh has been out, so we replaced him then today with Tim O'Mahony in midfield, and we can move things around. Robbie O'Flynn, as I said, played well. So you need a depth of, you need 2021 players, you know.
And even in the under 20 game during the week, we saw a few fellas put their hands up as well.
Yeah, but guys, Melrick has been with us, and Downey have been with us. Like, but they have a match now on Wednesday night, and I didn't want to bother bringing them up here today. Let them focus on the under 20 match, which is important match, you know, on Wednesday night for Dennis, like, to win that match to get into a Munster final. So, you know, they're all little shoots, and they all just keep going, and we just need to keep going. And you know, young Connery now, and Evan Sheen, and those, the Roaches, you know, they're putting their hands up as well. So it's important to have more depth, more talent, and that's it, really.
John, it's an itch to scratch as well, isn't it, at Cole Park? Like, Cork haven't won there since 2013. Is that something that might...
Yeah, no, we've a few wrongs to rectify, and you know what I mean, that the last two semi-finals we've lost to Waterford and to Limerick, and you know, we were in a good position last year against Limerick, and we lost it. We were a good position against Waterford in 2017 and we lost. So we need to address that, we need to look at that, and we need to make sure it's right at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock next Sunday.
Yes, John, are speaking after today's big win, and of course now going on to face Kilkenny next Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock throw on time for that one. If you're on the way back from Mullingar, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a text on 0868104106, or tweet us indeed at Big Red Bench. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Cork's performance today and how you think it's going to go against Kilkenny next weekend. Alright, Kieran's also been speaking to Dara Fitzgibbon.
Yeah, I suppose it's good just to get back out in the field after 3 weeks. We kind of had a job to do and we did it, so we have another big week now against Kilkenny, sure, a rival. So
big score put up out there, 40 points.
Yeah, I suppose we put up a big score, but we conceded a bit as well, so obviously look, we have a lot to work on too before we have a 7 day turnaround now, so we would get recovery right and then just get ready for Crow Park.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a different battle against Kilkenny up in Croker.
Yeah, I suppose, sure, look, Cork and Kilkenny are always great games. It's a huge rivalry when you're growing up there again, John, you're playing really Kilkenny and Crow Park, so just looking forward to really back in Crow Park after the disappointment of last year, so just looking forward to it again.
And for yourself, you got a bit of game time out there as well, a few points on the board as well.
Yeah, it's kind of it's just get through the game time, get a few boys on, like, see the sub that came on as well, Robbie Flynn putting up his hand there as well, so big competition again for next week.
You must have been happy enough with the spread of scores from all over, you know, and multiple scores at that, you know, you can see it there, it was a big spread. You've had more space, I suppose, than you'd normally get.
Yeah, I suppose we put in a lot of effort during the weekend. We had missed a lot of chances against Clare, and you know, we had a lot of improvement to do through the Munster Championship, so we're just kind of just keep improving, keep getting ready. We're kind of where we wanted to be now, getting back in Crow Park again. So
you kind of only feel it when you're standing down here, it's very hot.
Yeah, it is very hot. Yeah, the pitch is very tight as well.
Yeah.
So look, we had a job to do and we got it done, you know.
Yeah, as you say, a big step up now next weekend.
Yeah, massive step up. Strictly Kenny, a really good side, you know. The puck of a ball in the Leinster final, so they could have been the other in the semi final, but look, we know what to expect. They have serious talent.
Yeah.
And I suppose there'll be nothing between us.
Confidence is high in the camp?
Yeah, as confidence is high, we get a bit of momentum going now after getting the win today, and hopefully we can just keep it going.
All right, for more on the game, we're joined by Kieran O'Regan, who is in Mullingar this afternoon. Kieran, that was essentially a training game for Cork, but as we heard from John Myler there, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't win these games by 20 or 30 points, you're going to get criticism. And if you win by 20 or 30 points, you're probably still going to get criticism.
Yeah, he hit the nail on the head, but like you said, it very much was like a challenge match, even though Cork had a strong team out. Very one-sided Westmeath, very out of their depth. In fairness, they had played last week in the Joe McDonagh Cup final, and that was their All-Ireland final, and they lost that. So the heads, I suppose, would have been some bit down. Also, it actually was nice to see, before the game, they were all walking around the town, soaking up the atmosphere, which was something you don't see too often. While we were stuffing our faces with food, we were watching them walk around, enjoying the atmosphere. So that was a nice thing. But yeah, it very much was like a training match here. But a good day out for Cork. It was good to get some game time as well for, as we hear from John Myler, for Robbie O'Flynn, who, if you were giving man of the match for a half, you would have given it to him for his second half performance when he came on at half time. He had a fantastic second half. Jamie Cochran, who hasn't really had much game time this year at all, got a run out and played well enough, got a point or two. Jamie Cahillan, Decky Dalton, Darren Brown, they all came on and played well enough. So it's good and important to get them a bit of game time as well, you know. But fantastic performances then. The first half, Alan Callaghan, we would have given the man match to him in the first half. He had a fantastic performance, but he was taken off at half time. Hoggy, as Hoggy is, a fantastic player. A lot of his scores come in from frees. Seamus Harry get on the score sheet. Dara Fitz, Kingston, Lehan, Bill Cooper, Tim Mahoney, all getting on. It was good for Tim Mahoney as well, because he had missed out. I think since the Tip game, he was taken off in that game, and he didn't have one of his better games that day, but this is his first start, I think, since, and he really put on a show, I suppose, in a new enough position for him. And Dara Fitzgibbon playing a new position as well. He played well, but a fantastic win for Cork. But it's going to be a very different story next week against Kilkenny and Crowbark.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, like, I don't think any Cork fan, don't think any of the Cork management certainly would be reading anything into today's game. I'd imagine the management team had that game in Kilkenny at the back of their minds all weekend. We're planning ahead for that. Not to dismiss Westmeath and say it was a formality or anything like that, but at 2 o'clock next Sunday, when that ball is thrown in Croker, it's going to be a massively different set of circumstances.
It sure will. I didn't see anyone from Kilkenny here now today, but they probably would have expected Cork to come through as well anyway. But it's a totally different set of circumstances. No, a lot of people, talking to people here, they fancy Cork to pull up to Kilkenny and even win that game. But Kilkenny are, they never went away. They seem to be in a bit of a process at the moment, with just new players and that, but they're a fantastic outfit, and they certainly are going to put it up to Cork next week, a lot more than Westmeath did today. But a different battle in Crow Park. Cork haven't won in Crow Park in a number of years. I think it's 2013, I think, was the last time they possibly won there. So Cork, I think Myler mentioned as well, they'll be looking to right a few wrongs as well, and get into a semi-final against Limerick. But it'll be a very, very tough battle, because Kilkenny obviously will want to be there and prove their detractors wrong as well, because they have plenty of them at the moment as well. You mentioned support as well here. There was 3,280 people here, and I would say I would be confident in saying 70-80% of that was actually Cork. There was a huge Cork crowd here. It genuinely was, walking around the town earlier on, like an All-Ireland final day with all the Cork jerseys going around. But kudos to all those who came up the 3-hour spin up. There was a great atmosphere here, and completely outshone the Westmeath supporters. I couldn't really see a whole pile of them here, but there was a few, but not a whole pile. But yeah, a big day for both Cork teams next week, with the Footballers and Hurlers bowling Crow Park. So two very tough games. Footballers having Dublin, Cork having the Hurlers having Kilkenny, but they'll be two very different games to what the Footballers and Hurlers have had this weekend.
And after such a performance today, Ciarán, with such a widespread of scores, 11 different scores and all, I'd imagine John Myler now has a bit of a selection headache going into Sunday's game.
Yeah, he did say Robbie O'Flynn, certainly after putting his hand up for a start next week. But look, every manager wants that, and John Myler has often said that over his term as manager, that he prefers having those selection headaches. And it's good for Cork as well. It's good for the panel that there is selection headaches, and you know, you're not kind of, you don't know the team before it's announced, kind of thing. You don't have 15 already nailed on starters, so I think you could see possibly Robbie O'Flynn go in there next week. Who you put him in for, I'm not actually sure, because the six forwards played well that started today, so I'm not sure where he'd actually go in. But definitely a selection headache for Myler Head, but I'm sure he's absolutely delighted to have that.
All right, Kieran, we'll let you get back on the road down from Mullingar. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Mark.
That is Kieran O'Regan there talking to us from Mullingar following today's big win for Cork. Let us know your thoughts on it. Love to hear them. 0868 104 106, or you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench if you would like to get in touch. But certainly a fantastic win for Cork today, scoring 140, an incredible tally this afternoon, and a lot of positives to take from Cork, even though, as Crum was saying there, maybe more of a training match vibe today, but certainly will be a lot different against Kilkenny in a week's time, 7 days' time, as they go head-to-head in Croke Park next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. All right, we are going to talk football now, and of course the Cork footballers booking their place in the Super 8s last night as they defeated Laois 420-115. A tremendous performance from the Rebels last night, and fantastic performances all around the pitch. Going to hear first from Cork boss Ron McCarthy.
Great win. We did a job. Look, we had a job. Our goal was to get Super 8s. We've got there. We performed really well for maybe 45-50 minutes of the game, and maybe lost our direction a small bit for the final 20 minutes. Gave Laois foothold in the game. That would be maybe the only disappointing element of it. But at times, I suppose the last 15 minutes of the first half and the first period of the second half, look, we were outstanding at times. Defensively solid, loads of pressure all over the field, and at times we were just lethal up front. And look, the combination has obviously given us a very comfortable result today.
What was the most positive aspect of it for you?
Look, what I said in advance of the game was I felt we have become a very consistent team since March. I was looking for, you've no guarantee in relation to any result in any match when you go out, but we're looking for a consistency of performance, and not only were we consistent, we'll probably raise another level again, and has us in good shape now going into the Super 8s.
Without dampening the wind, Laois got through an awful lot, a lot of gaps, a lot of things to work on before Dublin next week, so...
They did, and not just in the second half, maybe where we took our foot off the pedal and got sloppy. You know, even in the first half, you know, there were opportunities, and it gives us plenty to work on. And but we'll focus on the positives tonight, which is we've done the job, we've got there, and you know, we've come a long way since the night blowing Park Green against Meath, and the players deserve enormous credit for that, and we'll love to them.
A huge score from Cork, great play from Brian Hurley and Mark Collins together as well, liaising a lot.
Yeah, look, they combined really well. They play off each other very nicely. But I felt this was Brian's most complete game since he's come back from his injury. I thought he was really brilliant today, in that he obviously was a scoring threat, but he also brought other players into the game at the right time. And look, I've said this previously, he has been an enormous loss to Cork football for the last 2.5 years. Everybody would want to buy Hurley in their team, and look, it's only stronger he'll get. Obviously we have to manage him, and the beauty today is we were able to get him off. We have to manage him still, but look, he's a good chap.
After the last few games, especially the Munster final, the wide count was something to work on. Certainly worked today. I think it was only 3 or 4 wides. It's a very low number anyway.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, but look, obviously if you put a score, what, at 419, you know, you don't think you're going to be kicking too many wides. But you know, we look dangerous up front all the time, and a lot of trouble we put ourselves in was our own making straight passes and sloppy. And look, we'll mention that to the players, and we'd expect a higher standard than that, you know, throughout the game. And I think to beat the top teams, you know, you have to play at a level like that for 70 minutes and not just 50, maybe, which is what we did today.
Killian O'Hanlon injured, concussion. Will he miss next week?
I don't know if it's concussion or not. That hasn't been confirmed. Look, it's a heavy knock. Obviously, look, it was a fairly nasty challenge, and he's as hard as they come. So, you know, he had actually taken a blow previously, about a minute earlier. So I said the combination of the two didn't help him. But look, we'll assess. But at this stage, I don't know.
Yeah, and look, lots to look forward to playing Croke Park next week against the All Ireland champions, Dublin.
These players, you know, look, Cork have been in Croke Park for a number of years, and these players have worked so hard to get there, and they'll absolutely love being there.
Yeah, it's Ron McCarthy. Our speaking to Kieran after last night's very impressive win over Laois, and as we were mentioning there, a fantastic performance from Brian Hurley, scoring 2-4 last night. Kieran spoke to him.
We came up here to get a job done, and I think we did that. At times, you know, I suppose we were a bit slow coming out of the blocks and stuff, and you know, I think the delay that we gave ourselves, you know, the last 10 minutes for half time, we gave ourselves a cushion and we came out of the blocks as well in the second half and just eased us off. But as I said, look, it's a job done. We came up here to do it and we think we take that box. It's on to next week now.
For yourself, it was a fantastic performance out there. Must be encouraged by that anyway, or happy with it.
Yeah, look, you won't complain, like, but you know, there's a lot of stuff out the field the fellas haven't seen, you know. Lockie's ball in and a few other things, you know, that makes my life a lot easier and Marky's life. So I think, look, it's a good team performance. There's a lot of stuff to work on during the week, and you're playing a big team, and but we're happy with today. You know, we came up to do a job, we got over the line, and as I said, that was today's job done.
And let's look forward to next week against All-Ireland champions, yeah, in Croke Park.
There'll be something wrong if you aren't looking forward to that. It's playing the All-Ireland champions in their own back garden. Look, this is why you play football, this is why you train hard, like, you know. And look, we'll thrive on it, and we'll hopefully up the ante during the week in training and get a few knocks right there and then push on.
Yeah, that should be a cracking encounter next Saturday evening in Croke Park, 7 o'clock the start time for that game. Paul Kerrigan scored 1-1 from the bench last night.
Probably the only time we were a bit nervy was probably the first 15 and the last 15. Everything in between that was fairly super, like, so yeah, we're delighted. We had a job to do to get to the Super 8, and that was our goal, and we felt confident in doing it, and we were happy that we ran up a big score. Probably conceded a little bit too much, but it was kind of petered out towards the end.
You came on at half time, I think possibly the first touch you possibly set up a goal as well.
Yeah.
But you got a goal as well yourself.
Yeah, I think it was Liam Donovan drove a good ball down the line. I kind of got it, and we kind of spoke about inside at half time, myself, Mark and Brian, that there was a little bit of space over the top. So it's kind of, when you overhit a diagonal ball, it's very hard for a defender to defend. Luckily Mark caught it and had the vision to spot Brian, could finish, and it was a great start to the second half. I think he gave us about it gives us 6-7 point cushion or something.
One thing that I suppose through the league and that had to be worked on was wide count. I think there's only 3 or 4 wides that Cork got today. I think it was very, very low anyway. That's a huge positive.
Yeah, and not even the league, just myself included. The last game, like, was a big one, like, you know. It was something we had to improve on. We work a lot on training and kind of shooting under pressure and shooting when we're tired. And I thought, like, we were pretty good today, like, you know. So it's good credit you to learn from your last game and so on, like, you know. So we're delighted with that.
Disappointed to lose Killian through that injury and concussion there. Ian looked a bit tired, I think, towards the end, and Rory Dean. But disappointing to lose Killian anyway.
Absolutely. Killian is an integral part of what we're trying to do. He's probably the most improved player this year, I think. Like, from last year, and he's a really important player. Hopefully we'll have him back next week. I think he's on his feet all right, but he's a big loss because he was picking up an awful lot of breaks around the middle. I think the most important thing was after Killian went off, we lifted it then, which was a good sign of the team, and hopefully we'll have Killian back. Yeah, and I think you said the tire toward the end, but geez, including the blood sub, we had 7 subs, and, you know, it was a bit all over the shop there, and it's no harm for fellas to get a bit of game time either ahead of 3 games in 4 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah, and look, lastly, that's Dublin next week up in Croke Park, Super 8. It's great to be in the Super 8 again.
Yeah, 100%. It's something you would, like, you would aim to play Dublin and Croke Park at every year. You know you're going to have to beat them. So, look, it's a great chance for this young squad, a great experience. They're obviously probably the best team ever in football. So, look, it's a free hit to go up and get them and try to get points off them. And it's a great opportunity to play up there. So, we'll recover now tonight and tomorrow and look forward to it.
Yeah, it's Paul Kerrigan speaking to Ciarán after last week, or last night's win over Leash. Very impressive performance from Cork. And certainly going into this game with Dublin on Saturday night in good form after the excellent performance against Kerry, decent performance again last night. Nothing to fear now against Dublin in Croke Park on Saturday. Hopefully the Rebels can pull off a result in Croke Park on Saturday night. It would be absolutely sensational, but fingers crossed that can happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk motorsport, we're going to talk golf, and we're going to talk Cork City.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Right, we're going to talk motorsport now. In Cork's Luke Allen currently blazing a trail on the Formula 4 Southeast Asia Circuit, excuse me, leading the way after 16 races at the top of the Drivers' Championship. He's heading to India this week's race, and he called into me in studio earlier on in the week.
So this year I'm racing in Southeast Asia in the Formula 4 Championship. It's been going very well. I did a guest round out there at the end of last year. And just to kind of as a new experience, didn't actually have much kind of hope about racing out there next year, but then it went very well, and I really enjoyed it. I do like it out in Asia. So we decided then to do the championship out there this year, and try to win it. So then next year, hopefully move up and get a good deal in F3.
That was obviously a big decision, though, to go racing in Asia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive commitment, obviously, with school as well. Going into sixth year now, so it might be a bit hard to balance the school life and the racing, but I'm doing my best now to catch up in school, and I'm loving every minute in Asia. So
yeah, how have you found like combining your studies and your racing? Because I imagine like time wise racing is very intensive.
Yeah, I suppose, and mentally, I suppose always having racing on your mind can be quite stressful and tiring. But I actually enjoy school kind of more now, because it's like a mental kind of break from all the stress. And I go to boarding school, so I quite enjoy it, and it's been tough at times to balance obviously the study and the racing.
Yeah,
but I haven't actually seen my summer results yet, but I think they're okay. I think they actually went quite well.
And are your teachers and your classmates kind of supportive of what you're doing and kind of encouraging you along?
I go to Newtown School in Waterford, and they're all really, really supportive, and I'm grateful for that, obviously, that they don't try to get in the way. And
What's been the biggest challenge of racing in Asia?
At the start, I suppose there was a bit of kind of the change of climate to get used to. Obviously, when you're in the car and it's high 30 degrees and you have all your fireproof underwear and then your suit and your helmet and everything, and you're right, the engine's right behind you, so it gets obviously really hot. And I think over a weekend I lose about 2 kg.
Really?
Over a weekend, 2.5 kg. And but it's funny, because you don't actually realise the heat and how tired you are when you're racing, and then as soon as you cross the finish line, you're like,
that's adrenaline though, isn't that? It's the adrenaline dump.
And then you get out of the car and you just stand up and you're just like, oh my god, I need to sit down.
So do you have like a specific gym kind of regimen then to kind of acclimatise you for that kind of stuff?
I just do really a lot of cardio now. I haven't done it weights in so long. I just, when I'm in school, I do just go for a run before school, and then just do an hour of cardio after school as well. Or if I am doing kind of strength training, it'd be kind of like push-ups, sit-ups, all that kind of stuff, nothing. Because obviously I need to be quite light for racing.
Quite lean, you can't exactly bulk up. Like.
So that's what I'm trying to get at now. And then over summer I work on the farm, so that keeps me fairly active at home, and then I go for a run then after work.
So you've competed in how many races now in Asia?
There's been 4 rounds, so we're almost at the halfway mark. So there's 4 races at each weekend, 40 races over the season and 10 weekends. At the moment it's going very well. I'm leading the championship, but it is close with the top. There's 4 of us actually that are always every weekend. It's so close. So I'm just trying to keep the consistent finishes going and just keep pushing away a little bit every weekend.
Have you gotten to know your competitors now? Is there kind of like a little group of you kind of?
Yeah, I mean, we're all very friendly with each other off the track. Obviously, sometimes tensions get very high if we've been kind of hard racing throughout the weekend, after every weekend we kind of just start fresh, and we wouldn't have any kind of bad vibes around, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You've won a couple of races. You've won quite a lot of races actually, haven't you?
I think I've won 6 races now. That's kind of the goal, just to keep the podiums coming and get the consistent points, because that's what wins championships. So
when you look back on your 6 wins, which one of them was the most pleasing?
Last time when I was in Thailand, I was starting second. I qualified second, and so with the first race, and I knew the guy on pole was he's quite close in championships, so I knew I had to beat him. On the first lap I got past him. But then every single corner, he was just, because the straights are so long in the track in Thailand, so you get like a toe from behind. And he was just on me every single corner. And I don't think, if it was a 20-minute race, it felt like 5 hours. And I could see my dad at the grandstand with corner wire just ripping his hair out. He got past me once, and then I managed to get him back. But I was just defending every corner.
You must have been exhausted after that.
I think we were actually side by side for almost a full lap. I think there's a video on Facebook or something, but it was crazy. And then, after that race, I was just wrecked. When I crossed the finish line, I was just relieved.
What's the next meeting now for you?
I'm off to India I think next Tuesday. We're just trying to get the visas are actually quite hard.
Yeah,
to get an Indian visa. But my dad's actually, just today I drove for the first time on the road.
That's a big step.
Yeah, so my dad was beside me and I drove in here, but he's actually gone on to Dublin now to meet the Indian embassy to try to get the visa started, because I think we're flying out next Tuesday.
Is there a worry that you might not get the visa and be able to compete?
No, I think we've been in contact with them and I think they understand the consequences and stuff.
Yeah.
They said it should take 2 days once we meet them.
Before you get over there, can you look at videos of the tracks online to kind of visualise corners and turns and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, I try to kind of do as much preparation as I can. So we usually get, I think this time will be a bit later because of the visas, but we usually get over, we have kind of 3 days to kind of jet lag and everything. And so I'm just kind of, I know what I have to eat and kind of do the certain amount of training for each day to keep me fit, but then not wreck myself before the weekend. And yeah, of course I watch onboards and stuff as well, just to get the lines into my head, and because all the tracks are new for me this year, obviously. So yeah, a lot of preparation kind of goes into it.
So you're 30 points clear, but as you were saying, with 25 points for a win, it's actually not that big a gap.
Yeah, it might look big on paper, but
yeah, in my Josh head, Smith is next up with 247. You're 277.
Yeah, I'm definitely not letting it get to my head that I'm in any way going to win the championship. Well, I hope I win the championship, but I'm not getting too cocky or confident now. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to keep my head down and just chip away at the good results, and hopefully come round 10 I can wrap it up.
Yeah, I'd assume, given your wins, you've got 6 wins, that your performances are attracting attention from other teams for next year.
Yeah, we have been talking to a few F3 teams. Yeah, obviously F3 Asia is another really good championship, and they race on the same weekends as us sometimes. Mm-hmm. So a few of those teams have been talking to me, which is good. And then obviously, but there's so many options for next year, we really don't know what we're doing yet. It could be out in America or back in Britain, or it really depends kind of on sponsors as well, obviously. It's an expensive sport, so we need sponsors. Luckily, there's been a lot of generous people helping out this year. So it's okay this year. And but yeah, we really need to, if I want to keep racing and keep performing, then I do need sponsors.
You need sponsoring board, because as you say, it's an expensive sport. You're going off to India to race. That can't be cheap. So the more people that are on board, the better.
Yeah. I think it's with most sports, really, once you're at the top level, it's you need all these different resources. And I think they're all going to be expensive. But luckily, that's kind of where sponsors kick in. And luckily, there's some generous, mainly actually Irish people out, kind of just seeing this racing driver coming up and just wanting to help. And
because you're of all the Irish drivers, you're the most high profile, you're the one on the biggest stage at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose for my age, I don't want to make a statement.
I know what you mean.
To think I'm maybe performing the best at the moment. There's a lot of many really good Irish drivers. There's another guy obviously in F3 America and F3 Asia, whatever, but I'd like to think that I'm doing my country proud at the moment, and yeah. But I'd love to see more Irish drivers on the top levels of motorsport. We've kind of Craig Breen in rally, obviously he's amazing. Charlie Eastwood then in doing World Endurance Championships. So yeah, it's good, but I think everyone in Ireland would like to see more.
Yeah, certainly. So last time we spoke, we spoke about your Formula One aspirations. Is that something you kind of visualise regularly and kind of keep focused on, and this is why you're doing all this?
Yeah, definitely. I'm even, because obviously F1's gone through a bit of a boring stage, but luckily they had a great race in Austria.
Yeah, that was great.
Again, so when I was watching that, it gave me the F1 bug again. I really want to. I'm keeping the dream alive at the moment, and I haven't really lost touch with the dream.
A lot of complaints about Formula 1, though, you mentioned it, is that it's decided a lot in the stewards' room. We saw that with Verstappen taking out Leclerc the other day. What's your view on that, and should you just leave the drivers just race, basically?
Yeah, I think it started with Canada. I'm not sure if many people saw, but there was an incident with Vettel and Hamilton where Vettel went off track and he got a penalty for kind of joining the track dangerously. But that's when everyone started complaining, kind of like, we want to watch the drivers race, because I mean, it's boring enough as it is for just like a spectator that just doesn't know much about racing. So I think to keep the sport alive and to keep it like a world stage sport, I think they need to let the drivers race. But then again, in Paul Ricard, there was penalties for track limits and stuff when people going off the track when racing. So that was another big complaint. And then with Austria, obviously there was contact with Verstappen and Leclerc when he passed him. But I think if that decision was made and Verstappen was penalised, especially at his home race and all the fans and everything, I think it would have just caused mayhem on social media and everything. I think everyone would have just lost their heads.
It was a thrilling moment. I was watching the race outside in the office and I was even cheering on at that point. Yeah. Like, you know, I was really getting into it.
Yeah, I do actually support Leclerc quite a lot. He's like an amazing... And Verstappen and Leclerc are like, they've been racing against each other since karts. So it's like this rivalry that has came up, and I think it's definitely a rivalry for the future, and it's just, it's so exciting to see such like amazing young talents coming up. And yeah,
actually, speaking of karts, we were at Wildgrass Hill Track a couple of weeks ago.
I saw that on Twitter.
My times weren't great, so I might need to get advice from you the next time, or you can come with us the next time actually.
I'd
because
love to,
Jamie from News took it really seriously and was actually quite good. He had the fastest lap time of the day, so nobody can beat him. So we're thinking that if we, like, you know, make you a Red FM employee, you can beat Jamie. And then that'll shut him up a little bit. Luke, it's been a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming in. Sponsorship wise, if people want to get in touch with you and your team, how do they go about it?
Yeah, I mean, you can check out my social media platforms, Luke Allen 1 on Instagram, and then Luke Allen just on Facebook, and Luke Allen 123 on Twitter, etc. But yeah, just get in contact, and there's so many different packages where I can, I'll do whatever I can to to make sure that it's worth your money. And I'm obviously massively, massively grateful for any support I can get. So yeah, just get in contact with me, whether it's through email, or there's a link to my manager on my Instagram bio. So yeah, just
All right, pleasure having you, and best luck in India next week.
Thanks very much, Rory.
Yeah, it's Cork's Luke Allen. They're doing very, very well indeed. 30 points clear at the top of the Formula 4 Southeast Asia Drivers' Championship at the moment. Certainly going places. Looking forward to heading to Monaco to watch Luke in a couple of years' time in Formula 1, hopefully, fingers crossed. But yeah, great to chat to Luke, and very best luck to him in India this week. Alright, Cork's here playing Preston North End in a pre-season friendly tomorrow night. It is the start of a big week for the club, with progress needed according to come in the Europa League on Thursday night. I popped over to training today to speak to John Cotter.
Yeah, look, it's great. It's a great game for us to have, and obviously Preston are a club with a great pedigree, championship club, and great test for us, and great opportunity to give fellas games to make sure everyone's available in peak condition, really, fitness-wise, for the European Games coming up.
Yeah, exactly, and always good to welcome Shawnee back to the crosses above.
Yeah, look, obviously it's in a different jersey than we'd like, to be honest, but look, Shawnee was unbelievable here in his short spell, really, a year and a half here, but was brilliant, and it's great opportunity for him as well to come back here, and a great opportunity for the supporters to show a bit of appreciation towards him for what he'd done for the club while he was here.
And a great chance for your lads to test themselves against an excellent championship team.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's a great game. Look, it's great to have these games at this time, because it's understandably for our lads, if you're not playing, it's hard to get games as well. And it's a great opportunity even to bring in some of the underage lads who've been doing great, that have been training with us over the summer, and give them games and see what they can do. And and give fellas a bit of fitness wise too. Yeah,
European week as well, imagine everyone's kind of buzzing and training today.
Yeah, training was good today, obviously after putting in a good performance on Friday night. Obviously disappointed not to win it, but a good performance, great performance, and something to build on, and that's what we plan to do on Thursday. And everyone's in good spirits today, and we're still training in the morning before tomorrow night as well, because we still have to do a bit of work towards progress need occurring. So that's what we'll be doing from tomorrow, so all good that way.
And a good turnaround from a week ago when you were beaten by Derry City.
Absolutely, and look, obviously we spoke about that last week, spoke about it with the players, and they responded in the way that I knew they would, really, to be fair to them. I know their characters and their personalities, and up in Finn Harps on the Monday was the same, down to bare bones, but fellas still went through the wall and put in that attitude, and Friday was better again, I thought, to be honest, and something to build on, two clean sheets, and hopefully we can bring that out into Thursday and get a win.
The reaction when Marco Sullivan came on Friday night was telling, the crowd really loved him.
Yeah, but look, I can understand why as well. Marquin is in his 3 years here was brilliant. And look, the reason the crowd love him is what he gives first and foremost is the passion and commitment that he gives, and gave the whole place a lift on Friday night, and gave our players on the pitch a lift as well. And look, no doubt Marky is a bit more to give as well, and as he gets into his training this morning, obviously, you know, and hopefully he's a bit more to give. And look, Marky's a great lad, and look, everyone loves him here, and that's, we all know why, to be fair, so hopefully he can continue that.
Is he likely to start tomorrow night to get match fitness, or?
No, Marky won't start tomorrow night. As fit as he is, he's still 36 and played half an hour the other night, really, without having done too much for 3 weeks, so it's probably a case of minding him a bit as well. And he trained this morning, trained hard this morning, so he won't start that way now. So look, we still have Thursday to look forward to as well, so we have to be mindful of him that way.
And what are you expecting from Nidrocorn after watching them over the last two games?
Look, they're a good side, to be fair. Look, we'd have had them watch live and we'd have watched videos of them. We'd have been doing that as staff anyway over the last few weeks, and we started feeding that to the players this morning. So look, they're a good side, they've some good individuals. It'd be a close tie, I would think, to be honest. I think it's probably a 50-50 tie, and look, if we can put in a performance like we did on Friday night, would we have a chance to go through? Absolutely. And look, we'd back ourselves and back the players that we can put in a good performance and hopefully come through it.
European Nights all especially turn us across, so hopefully a big crowd out on Thursday night as well.
Absolutely. Look, European Nights over the years have been brilliant here, say from 2015 on, from was it the first one against Reykjavik, and it creates a buzz around the city, to be fair. And look, hopefully the crowd have been brilliant, and the crowd were unbelievable the other night, to be fair. They're outstanding, and hopefully the performance Friday night, now we can bring that in and get the crowd going again, because I understand sometimes it takes the players to show that passion and that commitment, and the crowd responded, and the crowd responded in a brilliant way Friday night, yeah. So hopefully next Thursday will be the same.
Yeah, it's Cork City first team head coach John Cotter there speaking to me earlier on today ahead of what is going to be a big week for the club. Hopefully a cracking European night on Thursday night. Watched a bit of Nidrocorn against Cardiff Metropolitan University last Thursday. Didn't look anything special. Lost the game, of course, 2-1. But went through 2-2 on away goal. So looking forward to the thing. I think Cork City will give them a tremendous rattle on Thursday, and hopefully Cork City can win by a couple of goals to bring that to Luxembourg the following week. Alright, we're going to go back and talk about Gaelic games again, because as we mentioned, Laois have knocked Dublin out of the hurling championship, beating them 122-23 in Port Laois. Maura Trasny Kellig is there, and she's been speaking to Laois boss Eddie Brennan.
We're going across the road now to the golf club, and we have a BBB BQ, a Big Bosco's barbecue over there, and we have a couple of drinks, and by God, we're going to enjoy them. I'm just absolutely delighted for the players, and I suppose we're looking forward to getting a bit of time together this evening and soak this in, because it's a savage feeling. And like I said earlier on, look, the players were maybe, and the county were deprived of an opportunity to really wallow in this during the week. And in a way, I suppose sometimes, look, I'm not going to focus on something. Here, Lee, come here. Focus on something silly, but you know,
it's not silly though. You win something.
There were in a way this fixture. I don't agree with this fixture, and I think it's a kind of a, you know, it's a bit like a slap of a wet tea towel in the face after you've done something really, really good. So, you know, all we wanted was the players to come out here today and do themselves justice, because we believe they were well capable of doing that. And I spoke to Corky going home on Friday evening, the two of us, you know, I rang him and said, I think we're right here. I think, you know, that was a positive meeting, and two or three of them spoke really well. And it was meaningful stuff, it was brilliant stuff. And, you know, just knew that, okay, all we need today is a spark. And Aaron's goal was that.
Last week when you were leaving Croke Park, obviously you were happy you'd won, but how much celebrating could you actually do then? Was it just come home, well done, have the my waddies, or how did it go?
No, look, I had a good night myself Sunday night.
Sure, you weren't playing.
No, and I could have had a few good days, but it was you know, I had to expose myself, and Niall were the two that stayed away from it, because straight away we were thinking of today and trying to have a look at opposition we were playing, because up to now we hadn't looked that far ahead, and we hadn't looked at Dublin, even though we knew if we won that's who we're playing. So we just got stuck in. I suppose Sunday night we start, you know, looking at video, or Monday night we start looking at videos, and all the while, you know, I was just checking in, what are the players at, where are they doing? And to be honest with you, I was never going to pull the plug on them on Monday, because they were allowed to go enjoy themselves, and you're just hoping that they'll measure it a little bit. And they came in, you know, Tuesday evening, got the dirty diesel out of the system, and then we trained Wednesday and we got something out of that. So overall, it's all about the players, and I'm just delighted. They invested in this, they put it in during the week, and they're after getting the rewards there today.
It must be very difficult to keep yourself composed on that sideline when you hear the leash going in the background. We were all going nuts in the press box, the crowd is going nuts, and you're watching that clock probably going backwards.
Yeah, I suppose it's a massive piece of history, and we're not going to forget the 7th of July for a long, long time, and people in Leash are, and it's brilliant for that. But and I'd say at times today I probably lost control of my emotions for a little bit on the sideline, because
I wonder where you got that from.
Yeah, I saw a few, you know, mad decisions there at the end that sometimes the bigger teams get when our guys were working really, really hard. But that's the way hurling goes, that's the ebb and the flow of it, and it was never going to affect the outcome, to be fair. Every time the boys just rolled with the punch and they responded, and that's the one thing I've asked them all year, is that they respond to every setback. We just come back, we keep coming back, and the composure they showed at the end to shoot a couple of points, and you know, even Paddy came up there and shot a massive point when we really, really needed it.
I want to let you go back, but just one more thing. Now, you were saying, you know, it felt like a bit of a wet tea towel in the face. Unexpectedly, against all predictions, you're now through to next week against Tipperary. Is that a wet tea towel, a dry tea towel, a block? What's that in the face?
It's like a good.
Lad Corcoran's giving his helmet here now.
It's like a good belt of a hurl that won't break. Yeah, look, that's what's there, and I'm not. It would be easy for me to come out and not, you know, talk about this fixture. And I suppose more so, look, we're on a great bounce here tonight. We've upset the odds in a big, big way. But to me, you know, I feel sorry for Westmead having beaten in a final last week and having to go through a fixture like that. To, you know, that's supposed to be a reward, apparently, for getting to a final. And those Westmead lads, I have huge admiration for them that they went and faced into that today, because I think on the other side of the coin, you could be saying, listen, no thanks, you're grand, because what sport across the world, you know, plays a final and then has lads to go play a match? But, and it would be easy for me to just disregard that opinion, and I feel strongly on that. But look, we've just turned over the odds today. This wasn't the script, this wasn't the narrative, but I suppose quietly I go back to Friday night. I felt leaving Friday night that these boys were in a good place, and I couldn't be more happy for them. They're a brilliant bunch of fellas, and I just want them to enjoy this today.
Yeah, it's really classy stuff there from Leash boss Eddie Brennan, speaking after their big win over Dublin today. It's certainly a bit of a surprise. 122 to 23 points, cracking performance from them, and I don't think I've ever heard the phrase a slap of a wet tea towel in the face, but it's something I'm going to start using more often. Eddie Brennan described having to play today's game, but look, a fantastic win for the Dubs today. Alright, before we finish up and hand you over to Alan Donovan for Green on Red, just going to hear from John Ram, the Irish Open winner, speaking after his superb performance today. Shot an 8 under par round of 62 to finish on 16 under par to clear of Andy Sullivan and Bernd Weisberger. So this is John Ram speaking afterwards.
I just feel good about the week. I feel so welcomed and so honored to be supported by the Irish crowd the way I am, that, you know, I really want to play good in front of them, and it's definitely a motivator. Obviously, this event is very special to me as a Spanish player. You know, it was my first European Tour win. It was Sergio's first European Tour win. Olazabal has won here as well, and then Seve, who won three times right now, right? And to be the first in Seve to become a multiple-time champion, it's an honor. So every time I come, I feel like part of history is being made, and it's just a humbling experience to come and play in front of this crowd and remember how many greats there is in this trophy. I mean, if I look, the first thing I see is Olazabal, Nick Faldo, Sam Torrance, Nick Faldo again, Rory McIlroy, I mean, Colin Montgomery, Ian Wisdom. This is so many great champions from this event that to put my name again there, it's definitely special.
And John, just an incredible final Sunday here at Lahinch. Obviously, 8 birdies, an eagle. It was just shot making here that we hadn't seen all day from anyone else. Just your thoughts about coming into the final round and really going low for that score.
Well, after the round I had yesterday, more than the round, after the back nine I had yesterday, I knew I could score on the back nine. I knew I could get it done. All I needed from today was a good start. And I started great. If it wasn't for that little mistake on three, it was somewhat of a stupid mistake, right? I mean, it was a good second shot, just misjudged the wind or mishit the ball a little bit and hit a great putt from short of the green to 3 feet and missed that three-footer. You know, it doesn't feel good, but I stayed in it, made a great birdie on five, a great birdie on seven, and another good birdie on nine, and that was on my way again. You know, that was completely forgotten, and played about as solid as a whole as I could play on 10. I mean, that 3-wood was massive, a great second shot, great putt, and, you know, I was all locked in and winning the tournament. I mean, I was confident I could make birdies with a par 5 coming up and a short par 4. The difficult part today was after 13. You know, I make an eagle on 12, which is a fantastic eagle today with the wind into us. And I get to 13 where I have an iron. It's a stretch. I need to hit a good iron, but, you know, it's doable. I go in the bad spot, hit a bad chip, make a bogey, and it's really easy to derail or lose focus or forget what's going on. So, you know, with a lot of mental strength and mental work and the help of the crowd, I get to the tee, hit a good tee shot to about 115 yards from the pin. I mean, I had nothing to that whole location, and I was staring right back at it. Made a great shot, and when I get to the green, before I even see where the ball's at, I see that I'm tied for the lead. That was a huge confidence boost. You know, I was, my mindset went from thinking I had to make the putt to stay within one or maybe tie the lead to making a putt to get one ahead. And I was able to do that, get ahead of, you know, Rafa and Robert before they even got to 12 and 13. So I had the chance to put the pressure on them, and that was a key moment. You know, playing that 14th hole that well was what, you know, helped the rest of the hole so much.
Yeah, that's John Rahm there speaking after his incredible performance today at Somme Crown. The Irish Open champion for the second time in 3 years. I'm sure there'll be plenty of celebrations tonight, although not too many with the Open Championship happening next week. Right, we're out of time. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way this evening. Our podcast will be online shortly. If you missed the show or yesterday's show, you can get that on redextra.ie. Follow us on Twitter as well. At Big Red Bench, we'll be back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Up next is Alan Donovan with Green on Red, bringing you the best of Irish music over the next 3 hours. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks, and we'll speak to you next Saturday from 6.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.